It's good to see you. Welcome back to another Nugget of Truth at Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. As Christians or followers of Christ, our goal is to become mature disciples of Christ. This means that you need to know why you believe what you believe. There's no way around it. To become a mature Christian, reaping the blessings of God, you need to know what the Bible says. You can't be a mature Christian based on feelings or only on what others have said alone. You must allow God's Holy Spirit to teach you through the Bible. That's not to say that you can't learn from others, but you must confirm what others are teaching for yourself. Now, even this message that I'm bringing, don't just accept it as true. You need to check it out. You need to confirm it through your own study of the Word of God. Now, in my last message, I said that it's impossible to understand grace without understanding the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so we're going to take a closer look at the Old Testament, which is all about the covenant of the law. Now, the Old Testament represents a covenant known as the covenant of the law. Every covenant has two parties, and each of the parties is called the covenant head. God is one covenant head, and the other covenant head is a person who's God called out or to raised up in order to represent a group of people. Apparently, God likes to work one-on-one. In the case of the Old Testament covenant of the law, the two covenant heads were God, obviously, or Jehovah or Yahweh, whatever term you want to use to describe the one true God, and Moses. Moses represented a group of people who were known as the Hebrews or the Israelites. Now, what's true of all covenants is that there is an exchange between the two parties, the two covenant heads. What belongs to the one now belongs to the other. Now, God, clearly the stronger party, has made his power and authority available to the weaker party, Moses and the people of Israel. Now, where did the Israelites come from? Let me take a brief moment to take a look at the genealogy of the Israelites. Remember, God created Adam and Eve. Then, after many generations, came a person or a man by the name of Noah. And I'm sure you're very familiar with that story. Noah was a descendant of Adam and Eve. And after more generations, a descendant by the name of Abraham was chosen by God to be the one whom God would use to receive the promises that his descendants would be God's chosen people. So God changed Abram's name. Actually, his name starts out as Abram, and it changes his name to Abraham. Now, very quickly, Abraham had a son. His name was Isaac. Isaac had a son, and his name was Jacob. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. That's so important to understand. Israel and Jacob are the same person. Jacob, now known as Israel, had 12 sons, and they eventually became the 12 tribes of Israel. The sons' names were Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, and Joseph, and then finally Benjamin. The point is that these 12 sons, or 12 tribes of people, became known as the Israelites, or the children of Israel. Remember, that's Jacob. Just as a side note, Jesus is a descendant of the tribe of Judah. Now, as a result of a famine in the land, these tribes found themselves in Egypt. In the beginning, they were treated very well, but over a period of about 430 years, that's what the scripture says, they became slave laborers. All of this is described in beautiful detail in the book of Genesis, and I would encourage you to read or to reread this book of beginnings. The book of Genesis shows that in the midst of life, God has a plan and that his plan will come to pass because God never fails. Now, so far, with many gaps in between, the genealogy goes like this. Remember, Adam and Eve, many generations, Noah, more generations, Abram or Abraham, then Abraham has a son, Isaac, and then Isaac has a son named Jacob, whose name becomes Israel. And then out of that, or out of him, comes the 12 tribes of Israel. I think now you can see why the name Israelites represent the 12 tribes of Israel, or Judah. Now, in the book of Exodus, we pick up the story of the Israelites in Egypt. God heard the cries of their hardship and raised up a Hebrew leader by the name of Moses. And it's with Moses that God, Jehovah, or Yahweh, God establishes the covenant of law. The covenant of law was the fulfillment of the promise God made to Abraham, that his offspring would become a great nation. God always keeps his promises. Moses is the covenant head, representing now the people of Israel. And this is a key point. God deals with the people of Israel through the covenant head, Moses. On Mount Sinai, God gives Moses the tablets of stone containing the Ten Commandments. But he also gives him an oral commandments, if you will, and details about worship and the religious practice and their expected behavior. Now, there are about 613 oral commandments, or mitzvot, that's a Jewish word, that a religious Jew had to obey. Now, the books of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, remember, it begins with Genesis, then Exodus, then Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But these describe the details of the oral commandments. Remember, as I said a moment ago, the first five books of the Bible are the Torah. That's the Hebrew name. And the Hebrew name, or Torah, simply means the law. Now, the bottom line of the covenant of the law is that it is a conditional covenant. I mentioned that last time. That is, if the people obey the law, they'll be blessed. But on the other hand, if they disobey the law, they will be cursed. So we could say that a person's righteousness was determined by how well they kept the law. When a person under the law broke the law, that would be called sin or unrighteousness, the only way they could be restored to a right relationship with God was to repent, but also to provide a sacrifice. And that's why when we read the Old Testament, we see so much concerning sacrifices and feasts and traditions. But what's important to realize also is that even the Old Testament Jews recognized that it was impossible to keep the law perfectly. Now, don't despair, because during the Old Covenant of the law, 600 years before Jesus Christ, the prophet Jeremiah said in chapter 31, beginning in verse 31, listen to what he said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." That's important for a future date. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt." Remember, that was the covenant of the law. And then he goes on to say, "My covenant of the law, which they broke, though I was a husband to them. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember them no more." You see, the prophet Jeremiah could see, as it was revealed to him by God, that something new was coming. And we'll get to that new that is coming, the new covenant, the covenant of grace, the next time that we get together. Look forward to that. But until then, may God bless you richly in your understanding of the Word of God.